open a work session on Senate Bill 258A and call up David Bailey again. David, looks like you've prepared some things for us here.
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm David Bailey with PERS. At your last meeting, you had a discussion and some questions about the interaction of House Bill 258 with, or excuse me, Senate Bill 258 with House Bill 2003. And we have consulted with our actuary and also with the Attorney General's office. And we have some conclusions that we'd like to present to you.
Okay.
Clearly, with the passage of House Bill 2003, Senate Bill 258 will be a more powerful incentive for people to take that refund. However, whether or not it would pencil out for a member to take the refund and expect to beat what return they would receive under a PERS benefit would depend on a number of individual factors. It has to do with their years of service, what other investments they might have on the outside, what decisions the employers make, their particular employer makes regarding the 6% contribution, and a number of other factors. However, we prepared some spreadsheets and made some assumptions to just give you an idea of how the value of taking 150% refund would compare with leaving the person's dollars in the PERS fund. And those are the three little spreadsheets that are attached to this memo. For this analysis, for the initial analysis, we assumed that the PERS fund would earn 8%, which is consistent with the other analysis that we've done on House Bill 2003. And we assumed also that a member could earn an equal amount to the PERS fund if they invested in an outside account. Of course, that may or may not be true, and in fact, it's often likely that a member would earn less in an outside account. But for comparative persons, reasons, we're using the same number. And what this shows, at least in this analysis, is, which is over 10 years, is that a member would be better off to leave their funds in PERS than taking the 150% incentive. And the reason is that under PERS, even though we are not crediting them with any earnings for the first 3.5 years in this scenario, they would nevertheless receive a match of their account, at least a match of their account, plus a cost of living increase on their account, which is where we get the 2.7 multiplier. A member's account is worth 2.7 times its value in retirement. So, assuming that you can earn as much on the outside as you would in PERS, it doesn't pencil out over 10 years. However, I think what this also shows is that the longer a person has away from retirement, the better opportunity they would have to match the value of the PERS benefit, which is consistent with our other assumptions, which is that the farther away a person is from retirement, the more likely they are to take this incentive. The closer they are, the less likely they are to take it. A couple of other points that we wanted to make, which have to do with the impact on the savings to employers under House Bill 2003. This bill will not have any impact on the savings for employers under House Bill 2003. And the reason for that is, I'll include in the explanation for the next point, which is that the greater, and this is the real interaction between these two bills, the greater amount of the withdrawals under Senate Bill 258, the longer it will take for earnings to reduce the deficit reserve to zero. And that's because the fewer dollars that are in the fund, the fewer dollars you're going to earn, and you know, there's a finite amount that needs to be paid back. So that being said, however, clearly the earnings that the fund experiences over the next few years or more are going to have a vastly more important impact on determining how long it takes to eliminate that deficit reserve than how many people and how many dollars are refunded under Senate Bill 258. So what I'm saying is that impact, though it will exist, could and probably likely would be immaterial. And the only other point I wanted to make was in response to Representative Richardson's question about whether these funds would be rollable. The answer is yes. We asked the Department of Justice to look into that. They did send me a letter, and they had some caveats in that, which I've included in this memo. But in speaking to the attorney who wrote it fairly hastily, he said that actually, as we talked, that he could not think of any events where it would not be rollable. So we're very confident that these dollars are rollable. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions?
I'm not sure I understood what you said. It will have a big effect on the fund, or will not have effect on the fund?
It's unlikely to have a significant effect.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you. Does anybody else wish to testify on the bill based on the new information? Colleagues, we're in work session, and I do notice that we have five members present, so it'll take six members present. So it'll take five out of six of us to vote this thing out. Is there anybody who's a no vote on this bill? 258. All right. Why don't we're in work session. I'd take a motion on Senate Bill 258.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 258 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Barker moves Senate Bill 258A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? No? Okay. Clerk will call the roll.
Representative Barker.
Aye.
Representative
Graham. Excuse.
Representative Butler.
Yes.
Representative Kefouri.
Excused.
Representative
Pearson. Excused.
Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Scott.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, that was an aye. Just so you caught that. Having received the required number of votes, House Senate Bill 258A is sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Somebody want to carry the bill?
Okay.
Representative Barker was first up on that one. Let Representative Barker carry the bill. And with that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 258. Colleagues, we also have Senate Bill 325 on our agenda today. I'll open a work session. I'm still concerned with some of the elements of the bill. I've had a lot of different input. From if it's good for counties under 75,000, why wouldn't it be good for counties over 75,000? And then there's the folks who would prefer just to have a moratorium or eliminate the practice altogether. And I'm trying to find some middle ground on this issue, and I don't know if there is any. This is a tough one, and I think we really need some more discussion and more testimony and some more thought on this. So I'd encourage you to be taking a look at this issue to see if we can find a way to satisfy the rural areas as well as the urban areas. And maybe we can't do it, but I think we ought to give it some more effort. And if anybody has any thoughts on that, I'd be happy to entertain them at this point. Otherwise, we can ponder this in our offices. Anybody wanting to come forward to testify in work session? Okay. We'll close the work session on this bill, and if there's nothing else for the good of the committee, House Bill 2003 will be back on the floor tomorrow. Concurrence between 8:30 and 9:00. Thank you, Committee.